May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. It has been 1 week since that remarkable morning when Mary discovers the empty tomb, when the risen Christ calls her by name, and when she tells the disciples all that she has seen. And although we do not have a full description of the events that follow, we can use our imagination to fill in the details. We might imagine the reaction of the disciples after hearing the news of the resurrection. Now, they must have been out in the streets proclaiming all that Jesus did, this good news that he is risen from the dead. Now, this might be what we imagine, but this is not what happened. Mary gave the disciples the good news. Peter and John witnessed the empty tomb. But rather than living in the joy of this new revelation, they are hiding away behind locked doors. And yet, even as the disciples hide in fear, Jesus appears before them, opening the door to faith. In this moving account, Jesus comes to the disciples in their fear and breathes on them the spirit of new life. To me, this is a beautiful picture of grace. And yet, they are not all there to experience. For whatever reason, Thomas is away. But when he returns, the other disciples, in their excitement, tell him everything that has happened. But Thomas isn't so sure. It all sounds a bit far-fetched. He needs to see the evidence for himself. And so, a week later, the story continues. Jesus appears again, this time for the sake of Thomas. He does not leave Thomas alone in his doubt, but he meets him there, saying, "Put your hand in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." And with this, Thomas does believe. His eyes are opened. Now, over the years, Thomas has been coined Doubting Thomas, but to me this seems a bit unfair. A more accurate description of him might be that of a realist. He's the type of person that needs to see before believing, and not only see, but to touch. He is a skeptic, but an honest skeptic. He is simply looking for evidence. He may have made a good detective or a scholar. And I'm sure many of us here can relate to Thomas, to his need for proof, to his struggle to believe. Now, one of the best portrayals of this story is Caravaggio's well-known painting, and you should have received this in your notice sheet when you came in today, so if you'd like to have a look. Now, I find this painting both deeply moving and disturbing. The image captures the beauty and the stark reality of the scene. It is an intensely realistic picture of incarnation. As we look at Thomas placing his finger deep into the wounds of Jesus, we glimpse the amazing truth of Easter, when divinity meets humanity, transforming darkness into light. In this powerful gesture, Jesus helps Thomas to see that he has no need to fear, that he is free to believe, even when it seems impossible. At the same time, two other disciples are watching, mesmerized by what they see. The physicality is inescapable. The painting brings to life the words, "By his wounds we have been healed." Now, I have always liked Thomas. I can relate to him. For like him, I too find it difficult to believe. And Thomas, I think, raises for us an important question. How do we believe when we see little evidence of God's presence? We see signs of hope. We hear stories of faith and encouragement. And yet, we cannot help but be overwhelmed by the darkness. We want to believe in God, but it is difficult. And yet, one thing I think we can take away from today's story is that God meets us just where we are. The relationship between Jesus and Thomas remind us that people believe in different ways. We all come to faith differently. Some see and seem to believe immediately, while others need more time. For most of us, belief and faith is a process, a journey. Thomas shows us that along this journey, it is okay to question and to doubt. And it is good that some of us are realists or skeptics, for we need skeptics to make new discoveries, to help the rest of us come to a deeper understanding of faith. Last week, I spent a few days at St. Daniel's, a residential library in Wales. St. Daniel's was established by the Gladstone Estate in the 19th century and was a place for study. And today it continues both as a place for study and as a place for retreat. For many who go there, it is a place to contemplate both the presence and the absence of God. There is a lovely chapel on the grounds where each morning a simple Eucharist service is held. And, being a library, the liturgy is full of literary allusions, including the poetry of the Welsh poet and priest R.S. Thomas. Known for his emphasis on the absence of God, Thomas has been called a modern-day Doubting Thomas. He's struggled with God, with his apparent absence, and this comes through in his poetry. Now, I don't always connect with his poetry, but I found one poem that morning deeply moving. The poem is titled The Absence and was read just prior to the consecration, when by the power of the Holy Spirit, gifts of bread and wine become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll read a bit from that poem for you now. It is this great absence that is like a presence that compels me to address it without hope of a reply. It is a room I enter from which someone has just gone, the vestibule for the arrival of one who is yet to come. Genes and molecules have no more power to call him up than the incense of the Hebrews at their altars. My equations fail, as my words do. What resources have I, other than the emptiness without him of my whole being? A vacuum he may not abhor. For R.S. Thomas, the absence of God does not mean the non-existence of God. And his poem illumined for me that morning how the presence of God exists in the absence, how the voice of God speaks in the midst of silence. There is no easy resolution to the paradox of absence and presence. And knowing this, we can accept that we do not have a complete or full understanding to the ways of God. Faith is a journey of discovery, a process of facing our deepest fears and asking for God's guidance. For sometimes it is in the absence, in the silence, and in the darkness, where we catch a glimpse of God's presence. And so today, as the Spirit of God meets us afresh in our worship, in the mystery of the bread and wine, let's welcome his revealing love in the risen Christ, who has come to bring light to the world. Amen.